Good evening, folks. You're very welcome to the September ERT meeting. You're very welcome. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. As we are currently in unprecedented times, can I ask for everyone's full cooperation and to adhere to the new guidelines with regards to the conduct of the meeting. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. Members of the public and press must refrain from using the instant messaging facility during the meeting, and anyone found to be doing so will be given a warning. Failing to adhere to the guidelines for a second time will result in being removed from the meeting. I would remind members of their obligations under a councillor's code of conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interest which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the meeting by hanging up from the call for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in a vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of the meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where the council is considering any exempt matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system on the computer, so please ensure your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. Please ensure if you wish to speak on an item, use the instant messaging facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in as listed. At this stage, you unmute your microphone to speak or click the button on the delegate microphone if you are physically in the meeting room. Members should ensure that their cameras are switched on when speaking, and cameras should also be switched on when a vote has been taken. I'd like to remind members to keep their instant messages to the following letters. Type Q if you wish to ask a question, P if you wish to propose, and S if you wish to second. Please refrain from making any other comments using instant messaging. Following the presentation of the officer's report, the chairperson will call for a proposer or seconder. This should be done using the instant messenger feature. Please do not submit these until they are asked to do so, as they may be missed. If two members ask to propose, the first member having indicated through instant messenger will become the proposer, and the second member having indicated will become the seconder. The chairperson will ask the proposer and seconder in turn to unmute to indicate vocally that they are proposing and seconding the decision. If you need to leave the meeting early, please indicate via instant messenger so that we are aware this is an active decision and does not indicate any connectivity problems. Okay, folks, that's all that official business out of the way. Can I ask, are there any apologies? I have one from Valerie Hart, Councillor Hart. Okay, so item number two is declarations of interest.
None, Chair.
Okay, number three is the action sheet from the ERT meeting on the 9th of August. Okay, and can I have a proposer and a seconder for that, please? Terry, you have a proposal there, and you've also got a question.
I have indeed, Chair. First of all, thank you very much. And I'm only two.
Sorry, Terry. Just okay. I've got Councillor Savage just come in there to second it. Go on ahead.
No problem. Thank you very much. I just want to welcome the action sheet, and I'm just wondering, has there been any update or progress on the motorhome strategy since we had our last meeting? And as I said, I did have down here about the revitalization scheme in Downpatrick, but I see that there's an imminent DEA meeting and other updates that's in the order paper. So thanks so much. Just would welcome an update on the motorhomes. Thanks.
Thanks, Chair. I can take that. Councillor, the minutes of the last meeting were ratified last Monday night. So we will start this week and in the coming weeks to start developing up proposals for the strategy.
Thanks very much, Connor.
Thank you. Okay, so if we're content, we'll move on now to item number four. And I'd like to welcome Owen Little, the Director of Fisheries and Marine Division from Deira, who's going to give us a presentation on the fishing and seafood development programme at Kilkeel and Hourglass Harbour. You're very welcome, Owen.
Can I just test my comms? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Owen.
Thanks very much, Roisin. Thanks very much for inviting me here tonight, and good evening. My name's Owen Little. I'm the Director of for Marine and Fisheries Division of Indira. I'm a relatively newcomer. I started in post on the 4th of January, and before that I had 10 years in waste policy, so I've probably crossed paths on recycling at some stage in some council meetings in the last decade. So I'm really delighted here to sort of start this journey with what we hope will be a successful delivery of infrastructure in harbours. And really, this is about building relationships and collaboration that will be required if we are to realise the opportunities and benefits highlighted in the Fishing and Seafood Development Programme. Is there someone doing the presentation from your end, or do you want me to try and share from my end? Or have you got the presentations in front of you?
Owen, if you could do it from your end, that would be great.
I will try to. I will try to do that then. Yes. Just. Sorry, just to. Has something come up on the screen there yet?
It has indeed, yes.
Right, okay. Well, hopefully I will be able to navigate this. I'm delighted, as I said, to be here. What I'm going to do this evening is just give you a quick overview of the Fishing and Seafood Development Programme report, the key areas of work, what the department is doing, and what really needs to be done from our viewpoint, and also specifically what has to be done for the harbour capital investment, which is the major part of the report. And really, you know, as I said before, to how do we initiate and get this collaboration going. So if you can tell me, did that go on forward, that slide?
It has, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, just testing. So the Fishing and Seafood Development Programme was established in response to calls from the Northern Ireland fishing industry to make significant investments in fishing harbour infrastructure. And the vision's on the screen, I'll not read through it. So the FSDP involved a strategic review of the opportunities for developing the sea fishing and seafood sectors in Northern Ireland as a whole, including the potential role of new public investment in infrastructure. This requires a long-term view, as port infrastructure has typically had a life of 50-plus years. And although the department's core interest is improving the infrastructure of fisheries, it's also, you know, there's going to be added value from that infrastructure, and we can touch on that later on. So the three Northern Ireland Fisheries Harbour Authority ports are not only critical to the fishing and seafood sector, but also support other maritime economic sectors in what is termed the blue economy. And these show considerable development potential at these fishing posts in the future, particularly if we get the infrastructure in place. An investment in the harbours plus associate work should provide a catalyst to realise other opportunities in the blue economy for the coastal communities and allow diversification for fishers, which builds more resilience for these communities against any future economic or climate-related challenges. So on these are the objectives. So there are six main objectives in the report. Three of them are more generic and three of them are harbour specific. So the fishing objective really relates to fishing operations are sustainable in economic, environmental and social terms, sufficiently profitable to invest in a fleet that can operate efficiently, attract crew and reduce its carbon emissions. The blue economy objective is, you know, Northern Ireland grasps the future opportunities in existing emerging sectors of the blue economy. The harbour objective is Northern Ireland's fishing harbours are developed to support the needs of the fishing industry and enable growth in other sectors of the blue economy. And then for the three harbour-specific objectives for Kilkeel, is about Kilkeel becoming an Irish Sea marine hub. And this is sort of based on the preferred option. You know, port capacity is increased, making it more accessible with increased water depth for fishing, vessel repair and offshore services. The harbour estate is increased with additional land for business expansion and new opportunities. For Ardglass, it is an Ardglass harbour. Capacity is enhanced to secure fishing and processing industries. Harbour properties are acquired to enable coherent harbour site development. And then for Port of Bogie, it's the Port of Bogie harbour is maintained for its fishing industry and the harbour estate is prepared for future blue economy opportunities. So this diagram here shows sort of it's taken from the report, and it shows that, you know, sort of kind of puts a price on where some of the big ticket issues are in the proposals. Obviously, Arglass, Cochrane and Port of Ogie amount to £98 million in the report. But we've also got other non-Harbour Authority sites to take care of. We have a list of other areas within the report that are touched on, such as training, broader efficiency, decarbonisation and innovation. You know, the report was produced on 7th of May earlier this year. You know, as I said, it identified the three harbours as the sort of key harbour infrastructure. So since May, the department has been developing a strategic outline case to take forward the harbour development programme part. So that's that sort of kind of key bit of the three harbours. And, you know, as the slide shows, it equates to significant investment. And when optimization bias is included, as required for capital business cases, the amount for the three harbours actually increases to £120 million. As I said before, the harbour investment for those is just is not all of what the report's talked about. We have to also look at, you know, other areas. Harbour or capital investment by itself is not going to deliver or help realise the opportunity. So there's a real need to engage with other stakeholders, including yourselves, council, DfE, InvestNI, etc., to be able to realise these broader opportunities and assist with the broader economic regeneration. So certainly the infrastructure will help, but there'll be other areas the report highlighted. I should also add at this point that, you know, this programme is one of Minister Putt's top priorities, and he's taken a keen interest in moving it along the process. You know, the civil service process can be quite bureaucratic, and he has been quite strict in pushing us forward to actually, you know, not just kind of lag behind, which can be quite easy to do in some of these sort of kind of processes. He's fully supportive of the harbour's development, and as part of his forward work programme, and he receives weekly updates on us progressing, particularly in recent times, the strategic outline case. The department will also utilise other funding streams. So effectively, the success of the European Marine or Maritime Fisheries Fund, that's the right-hand side of the slide, to continue to assist with the fishing sector to innovate, train, become more efficient, as I said, decarbonise and diversify. In addition, these monies will also assist for the non-NIFA harbours around the coast to facilitate fishers. It should be noted, although DEFRA have indicated that the UK government will replace the EMFF funding from 2022-23 onwards, this has still not been confirmed. It won't be confirmed until the UK government's comprehensive spend review has been concluded, but DEFRA are hopeful. The strategic outline case has now been completed and seeks approval for capital spend, as I said, in principle of £120 million and a resource spend to undertake the initial environmental and technical studies of up to £1.47 million. And that environmental technical studies will take place in sort of 22 and 23. Okay. So this is just an indicative timeline, and what I would like to say is this is indicative. This is a complex, when we look at the three harbours, and particularly Kilkeel and to a certain extent Arglass and to a lesser extent Port of Ogie, these are complex projects, capital projects, because they're involved in the marine environment, and in addition to planning, there's also marine licensing. So this is sort of, to use a sort of kind of maritime parlance, with a fair wind, this is what we'd be looking for. There are a number of areas which will be outside our, you know, our control. For instance, when we do the environmental technical studies, you know, it may throw up issues which, you know, may throw in extra cost to some or all of the harbours. It may question value for money. There potentially will be planning and marine licensing issues. There could be people who actually challenge these bills. And I'm sure you're well aware, as I am, that, you know, in these sort of strategic sort of infrastructure projects, programs, challenges can actually delay them quite a bit. So that that time frame is really what we're aspiring to with a fair wind. So just there's a heavy caveat in that, but that's if the planets aligned, that's what we'll be looking to do. And, you know, some people have said to me, well, that doesn't sound very fast. You know, you're only going to start building this in 25 if everything falls your way. But as I said, you know, by the time we procure environmental technical studies, have those conducted, assess them, then get the outline business case and full business case approved. And also then we have to actually look to secure the money as well. £120 million potentially is a significant amount of money. We've already engaged with DEFRA about as part of the UK government's level up agenda, and we've been already sort of bookmarking this that, you know, if we're talking about strategic UK maritime infrastructure, you know, the County Down Coast should be sort of like the ports of excellence for the Irish Sea. So that's the sort of way, as official level, we've sold that with DEFRA for them to sort of look at that. And then finally, the last slide, just next steps. So the current intent is that the department will put a governance program in place in line with managing successful programs best practice towards the end of the environmental and technical studies. There are likely to be project teams for the individual harbour projects. So this will allow those projects to progress at their own pace so that no one harbour is relying on the other harbours if there's issues with planning or licensing, or we've just discussed in the previous slide. But the composition, the makeup of those boards and project teams will obviously be dependent on the environmental technical studies and the outline business case and value for money and what comes out of that. Northern Ireland Fisheries Harbour Authority will be closely involved. Due to the technical nature of this programme, the department is likely to seek specialist support, and in the past we've looked to Strategic Investment Board to help us procure that sort of support. However, there's also a need for engagement with key stakeholders to be able to meet and discuss the other elements of the fishing and seafood development programme and, you know, through collaboration and partnership to develop these other lines of effort. And this will also reduce the risk of duplication and gaps to produce a sort of holistic programme for fishing and the seafood sector. I'm currently working on proposals for the Minister to consider, but, you know, from my experience, particularly in the waste policy side, we did have a strategic waste partnership with councils and other key stakeholders. And I have to say, over 5 or 6 years, I found that incredibly helpful. And actually, when COVID happened, it was a really good forum that we were all tuned into to actually deal with have contingencies to deal with that pandemic. So I'm currently looking at that there. And certainly, if, you know, my proposal will include Uriemore and Down District Council, as well as Antrim and North Down as the two councils who have the biggest sort of input with the harbours at Kilkeelar, Glass and Port of Ogie. And, you know, it'd be, as I said, a constructive forum so that we can actually make sure that all areas are sort of kind of brought forward and evolve, hopefully in conjunction with the harbour investments, so that when harbours are eventually built, that actually we've got the training in place, we've got the onshore developments in place and other issues covered off, as has been highlighted in the fisheries or the Fishing and Seafood Development Programme. So that's all from me. I'm happy to take questions.
Thank you for that, Owen, and for that presentation. I'm happy to open it up to the floor if anyone wants to ask any questions or make any comments.
Sure.
Okay, I have a question in from Councillor McMurray. Go ahead.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Mr. Little.
Sorry, Andy. Dermot, can you just turn off your microphone? Andy was just in just before you. Okay, I'll take you in after.
Thank you.
Oh. Councillor McMurray, are you happy for me to take Councillor Kernan first so you sort out your tech issues there? Go ahead, Councillor Kernan.
Thank you. Thank you everyone for your presentation. I gather I listened to it with great interest. Unfortunately, you know, I mean, I know there's a lot of work to be done here and then the other, but your next steps, you know what I mean, nothing's happened as fast as I think I would like it to happen. I know there's a lot of work for you. The only thing that I would agree with you on what you were saying there about the strategic partnership, because that then would take away a lot of the problems that has been had now. When you go up to see the minister or go to the department about the fishing industry, they put you to one department, then that department says, no, that's not my problem at all, and you go back and forward. At least when you have this strategic board, everybody will be there and wants to make a decision, then that decision will be finalised, so it can be finalised to get there. But, you know what I mean? I'm looking at that, I'm taking our glasses, just an example, to get there. The problem with our glasses is the deepening of the harbour, and it can't bring these big vessels into present time. And you must remember too that in Ardlass we have this three strategic factories in Northern Ireland. We have two of them in Ardlass. There we need to have to be supplied all the time. They only can land in Belfast now, and they have to be brought up to Ardlass. All I'm saying to you in a way, it seems to be that and I looked at the time factor that you had, 2025. You know, this is a long, long while to wait about something that I think that could be maybe progress earlier on in the plan to get things done and enter sort of fishing industry. Some things I agree with you, but there's some detail here that I can't get my head around at all. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'm happy to make a comment. Yeah, no problem. Listen, Councillor Kern, I empathise with your frustration, because having been in government for a long time and involved in capital projects, they do not progress as fast as we would like. And I think we have to be recognised that this is a significant amount of public money. There are a number of sites to be looked at. They are interfacing with the marine environment, so there's going to be technical difficulties that hopefully there'll not be that many once we've got the environment on technical studies. And just this is unfortunately the sort of timeline to progress these sort of major projects. And I've been involved in a lot smaller projects in my past, back in water service days, etc. And, you know, this is unfortunately just when we're delivering public money and public projects, there's a lot of checks and balances to go through. And as I said, you know, we've got the strategic outline case done. That's sort of the big idea. It's going to DOF. That allows us to go to the next stage. The outline business case will be the core element, taking on board findings from the environmental technical studies, and the value for money hopefully will be reinforced with that. And then it'll be refined with the full business case. And in the background, there'll be a lot of procurement to get in the systems to be able to push this forward. As I said before, the minister is fully behind this and is pushing to push this as hard as can, as the process allows. And that's really the assurance I can give you. On the broader strategic partnership, I think, a lot of those other areas wouldn't be DEIRA's responsibility. Some would be DfE, some would be the council. And I think this is why it's good to have that sort of partnership, so that we can actually collaborate and have a collegiate approach and make sure that, you know, gaps don't open up or there's not duplication of maybe bids for funds, particularly if the UK government releases more funds, especially in the seafood and fishing sector over the next 2 or 3 years, that actually we make sure that we get together and we can focus our efforts to deliver as fast as possible.
Thank you very much. I just noticed in your time frame there that you don't have any, you're not working in 2022. You have 2021, 2023, 2024, and 2025. 2022 is nothing's happening at all.
Well, I think it's by 23. So what's going to happen, rather than have a whole list, because the actual table has got lots of lines in it. So if you look, the environmental and technical studies are being, you know, we're going to procure them as soon as we get DOF approval for the strategic outline case. So we're hoping to get them started before the end of the financial year. They're going to work through 22 into 23. Concurrently to that, we'll be looking at procuring other services through CPD, etc. So there's a lot of concurrent activity. So those dates are by. So in between, we're not just sitting back. There's a lot of work. So OBC development, habitats regulation, environmental impact assessments, all that has been done in the background, and that's why I've just put in the dates by to have all that those things completed.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you again, Mr. Little. Probably will be in touch in the future.
Sorry, Dermot, I'm going to have to let other councillors in here. Councillor Murray, go ahead.
Thank you. I do apologise for that, Chair. I thought I had my computer all sorted, but obviously computers don't like me. I suppose really to and thank you, Mr. Little, for coming along this evening and presenting that. I suppose really have a question really to Mr. Little, and a question to your own sort of council officers. The question to Mr. Little again, how do we, and what is the risk of the UK government and the funding that has been mentioned? How do we mitigate against that risk? How can we as councillors, I think we've all got MPs here as well, how do we go about mitigating that risk to ensure the monies are released? And secondly, with regards to your own council officers here, is what, and in tandem with them, really is what role can we have within this sort of the stakeholder grouping in driving this project forward, ensuring this project goes forward, and also tying it into the wider objectives of the council, such as the circular economy, such as the terrorism and such like. So those are the two real questions. Thank you, Chair.
So, Chair, I'll take the first one on the funding. It's going to have to be, once we get the outline business case sort of kind of confirmed, solidified, that's when we'll know what sort of the realistic costs are going to be. So the strategic outline case is sort of, you know, what's predicted. The environmental technical studies and the work that will go into the outline business case will then give us a firm costs and what the value for money is going to be, and then the bids will go into DOF as per normal sort of the bidding process. But concurrent to that, the minister puts already raised this issue several times. I've been in meetings with DEFRA ministers about actually seeking funding from UK government to support this as part of a strategic network of fisheries infrastructure. So that has already been socialised, and DEFRA want to hear more once we get those plans firmed up. Then, if the balance of that money, it'll be the normal bidding process into DOF and the Northern Ireland budget. And then, it's like anything else, it'll be, I think, political representation, stakeholder representation to sort of kind of support that bid going forward. I think and this is one of the reasons I'm coming from the council, because I learned when I was doing waste that, to early on, get visible so that actually we have these conversations and you can be updated, so that if, maybe there are difficulties or we do sort of kind of come across obstacles, etc., we can socialise those with stakeholders immediately, and hopefully, sometimes stakeholders have a different pathway to get sort of influence. So I think that's where the strategic partnership would come in very handy, to have that sort of all-informed net, so that we're kind of got a unity of purpose and a unity of effort to see this through and get over any obstacles that might arise. On the second question, what was it? Just a reminder.
Sorry, Owen, before you just go on to the next bit, could I ask you, would you mind stopping sharing your screen? It's just you're still screen sharing there, if you don't mind. Thank you.
If I can work out how to do this.
Councillor McMurray, if you want to come in with your second point very briefly.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, Ms. Riddle, as much to our...
Chair, sorry for Owen to stop sharing the screen. He just needs to hit the X button. Owen, just go over to the right beyond the mic.
Is that it now? Sorry.
Yep.
Sorry. It's all right. We use WebEx and civil service, so we call the teams that's scrambling to find the right buttons. Sorry.
Mr. Little, I feel your pain, don't worry. it was as much you to Mr. Little as it was to our council officers, really, and regarding the stakeholder, regarding the project board, regarding those things about how we, as a council, engage and drive forward as well, and just sort of what that will look like and how it will be fed back into council, councillors, council officers, and that sort of line of question. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, so I think this is going to be evolve and be sort of iterative. I think if we get the mechanism in place and we can look at the FSDP and then see where different stakeholders are sort of kind of more the lead, I would say, and then sort of make sure that we sort of square the circle and things are taken forward. Because I think this is very much about communication and collaboration initially, because, from the department's viewpoint, this is actually early days in this capital project, getting the strategic outline case done, getting DOF approval, hopefully, and then moving to the next stage. And I think, through 2022, if we get that partnership set up, it'll become more important then to tie in the different elements. I'm aware from some of your officers about other bids going in for some of the onshore activities, et cetera. And so I think this is where, that having that close liaison and collaboration will assist other stakeholders with their plans or their bids, providing evidence, providing information, and, have a sort of kind of joined up approach, and that we're actually fully committed to sort of unity of purpose and effort to get this through. So, I mean, I can only take it from what we've done, what I've done in the past with waste and some other things. I think these forums evolve quite quickly. I think some of the strength is that it provides good lines of communication between political leaders and political officers and officials on the subject. And so therefore, everybody's aware of, as I said before, any difficulties or obstacles or where things are going well or where we could actually maybe have opportunities to push further or where there are gaps we need to look about committing extra resources to and have those discussions and prioritise or look at the risks, etc. So I think if we can get it in place first, then it'll evolve over the first several meetings. As I said, I think it's getting together and having that communication and collaboration liaison first and foremost.
Thank you. I think Connor wants to come in here now.
Just very briefly, in response to Councillor McMurray's query around how the council will interact and engage in this project, we're ready to engage with DERA as and when required, and we're prepared to play our part. And any actions that are taken out of any of the meetings that we attend, we'll report back to this committee.
Thank you, Connor. Councillor Riley.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Thanks for your presentation, Mr. Little. It was very interesting, but 2025 does seem a long way off, and the issues are so pertinent for the South Down area and the potential to increase the amount of fish land that is really it's improving and increasing, the opportunities that are there. But unless we get that harbour up and running, we won't be able to take advantage of those opportunities. And I just wanted to ask you, has there been any environmental studies done or any technical studies done to date? Or are we still not even at that stage yet? And whenever you're talking about bidding for funding, would you be doing that in the run-up to the 2024-25 financial year, or do you get any indication, Wendy, can you get any indication that there will actually be finance to do this scheme once all the reports and technical aspects are evaluated and approved? It's just, I'm concerned that, nobody knows what the financial situation of the country is going to be by 2024. There may not be any money to do that. Then, for all we know, that was my concern. Thank you.
Well, So first of all, on the timescale, I mean, I'm just probably going to be blunt here. I built stuff in the past or assisted in water service, and anybody who's been involved in capital infrastructure, it just takes time. And you may think that's not that long, but we're nearly on the brink of 2022. We're looking to try and get something in place, the first stuff done in early 25. So, you know, it seems a long way away, but, just from experience, there's a lot of stuff to be done. And, you know, I've come from waste policy, and, I don't even want to mention strategic waste infrastructure program, but that started in 2006 and we haven't built anything yet. Northern Ireland at times can be notorious for, you know, issues arise. Objections come in, and we have to go through the proper processes to deal with those. So all I can do is give you the commitment that, you know, the minister's put this as a priority, and he's tasked his staff to push this through the process as hard as can be, and that's what we're doing, and we're putting the resources to make sure those bits of the process are tackled. As I said, as difficulties arise, you know, part of this meeting was to set up that sort of line of communication so that you know, there's a face behind this project and program, so that you're not just blindly swearing at the department, that hopefully, you know, there are those mechanisms to come down and actually be able to approach me and say, listen, Owen, you know, what's happening? You promised me this, or you promised that in that presentation, and things aren't happening, and through your officials and we can, you know, have that communication and make sure that we try and smooth out any wrinkles. On the budget building or the bidding for the budget or the funding for this, we've highlighted this with DOF, that they've got now the street around that case. You know, we've bookmarked that this is a major project coming down the line. It'll be the normal budget pressure. This is capital money. So I wouldn't like to say that capital money is easier to get by, but with a project, if it gets approved by DOF, and it's got the value for money tick, and it's got the political support, which is incredibly important, then capital money tends to be less of an issue. And I do think that as part of the levelling up, there may be a reasonable case that we will be able to get some from UK government central funding as well. But they're not really ready to commit until we've actually got more firmed up proposals, and that'll come at OBC stage, and then that's really when the tempo starts to speed up, and actually we start to kind of solidify what we're looking to do and how much money we're looking to go for and what the profile's going to be as well. Because one of the issues DOF want to do is have confidence of when the profile of drawdown is going to be. So again, I'll go back to strategic waste infrastructure. We had a lot of money in the budget every year, which we had to actually send back or 2 years out because we hadn't any faith that we could start the project. So this is very dynamic, and it's not just going to be left the last minute. There are 3, 5, 10-year exercises commissioned by DOF, and we're continually updating and putting those sort of bookmarks in. And they're aware of this anyway because of, you know, we send a strategic outline case to DOF. So again, it's about sort of dynamic engagement with just not the external stakeholders from the department, but also internal in ICS to make sure that all the planets are aligned going forward.
Thank you, Owen. Councillor Clark.
Okay, thanks very much, Chair. And Owen, thanks very much for your presentation. I suppose, speaking in general about the project, obviously it'll be a stimulus for the local economy, but for the entire region it'll be a stimulus, particularly coming out of COVID. These are the type of projects I'd imagine that the Assembly would totally back, to get us moving forward in the local economy. I understand it seems a long time as well. 25 is a long time, 24, 25, and as you say, that's where fair wind. You have issues of public inquiries and judicial reviews that could even slow it up further. So from that point of view, I understand due diligence and good governance, but is there an opportunity? I think it's like something Dermot touched on, you know, the smaller components of the project, the legs of the dredging of Argylless Harbour, could that be carried out in the meantime, because we're talking about, and really, we talk about the ministers supportive and all the parties are supportive of the project, but you'll be talking about two mandates now. You know, you'll be in the next mandate and the following mandate maybe by that stage, you know, and the world and Ireland will be a different place by that stage as well. You know, so I'm just concerned that, you know, these fishing communities are struggling really badly, and if we can get some low-hanging fruit, I think it might be beneficial, definitely beneficial for the local fishing communities and the businesses that rely on them. Just if there's an opportunity to maybe look at some, you know, components of it that we can maybe move on with outside of the big project. In regards to, we touched on this before, and I think it was Councillor O'Reilly touched on it previously, as well as myself, about a training academy, you know, a seafaring training academy, particularly in regards to new technologies that we are now going to embrace, the opportunities to obviously learn the technologies, but also the opportunities then to, you know, manufacture battery capacity for vessels and hydrogen fuel cells and that type of stuff. Could you maybe expand on the training component of it, and also the renewable aspect and reduction of carbon moving forward? Because I see good opportunities there as well, you know, across the region, and also then to move out into the other areas of the world. The other point I would like to make is any, you know, obvious Brexit obstacles to what we're trying to achieve. We're all aware of the obstacles in regards to fishing rights for, you know, our fishing community, and indeed in in regards to, you know, getting access to fishing, but also in regards to even vessels landing and that type of stuff. Is there obstacles in regards to that? Just about, I don't want to hold you up here, Chair. Just to say that, you know, there is all party support, everybody in the council, all elected representatives support the proposal moving forward, which is good. And I think it's really helpful, you know, for the fishing community. But just your thoughts in general and them sort of things I've outlined. I have other questions, but I'll raise them at another time. Thank you.
Well, Councillor Clark, it applies to anybody. I mean, I'm happy enough to, you know, I was down at Hourglass recently talking to some of the stakeholders down there, so I'm sure some of your officials, if they want to tip you out to Kilkeel or Hourglass sometime, we can cover some other stuff. Just to move forward, we'll be bound with the environmental technical studies and the OBC, and if it allows for preliminary works to maybe start and go forward, you know, then we're not going to hang back. You know, we'll push ahead of those. One of the things I raised about the governance from internal departmental will be, you know, about how it's set up so that any particular harbour doesn't get held back because of the whole programme. So, you know, if one bit can push ahead, you know, we'll push ahead. We're not going to hold up the whole programme. You know, we're not going to wait for one element to hold, you know, to clear the whole programme. So where we can, we'll push forward and, you know, hopefully, when we get the outline business case sort of confirmed after the environmental technical studies, there will be opportunities maybe to do preliminary works and start actually getting something done. So, but again, I can't say that until, you know, we see what that's going to come out. On the Seafaring Academy and training, and those sort of issues, but realising opportunities, I mean, you know, deer is one element of this. Our remit is very much about fisheries, and in this case, the harbours, which are fisheries harbours. And so that's why I'd be quite keen that we need to get the likes of DfE involved to actually take, you know, as part of a partnership or, you know, a collaborative group, along with yourselves and the councils, to actually make sure that these different strands are taken along concurrently or addressed, so we're not left with a shiny new harbour with no one actually to train to work in it, or not enough staff. So that's going to be quite key in making sure that those other elements are also supported. On the Brexit, on the transition from EU, we've been working very hard, particularly with the producer organisations and the fishers and DEFRA to and the minister to address any of those obstacles, and we continue to do that. We don't let up to make sure that the opportunities that have arisen from extra quota, etc., get realised, and that there are no other areas that may actually compromise those. So that's an ongoing process to make sure that the those issues, if they do arise, get resolved as quickly as possible. And I'm in quite regular contact with the producer organisations discussing these issues and getting feedback, and my staff are as well. So if any of those obstacles arise, then you know, we work with the producer organisations and industry to try and get them sorted. And I would say that, you know, looking, I am relatively new, I'm looking across the UK, I have to say that the relationship between the department and our industry is actually very good and very collaborative to try and be innovative and get solutions to mitigate some of these risks. So that's been actually very good to see. In some other parts, it seems a bit more sort of distant, dislocated. Maybe it's because it's bigger, etc. So we'll continue down that line.
Yeah, Owen. Thanks very much, Owen. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Owen. If it's okay with yourself, I'm going to bring in the next three speakers, just one after the other, if that's okay, and then you can answer collectively at the end. Councillor Hanlon.
Yeah, thanks, Roisin. Thanks very much for the presentation. I do think, though, it would have been more time critical, given, you know, the pressures that are facing the fishing industry at the minute. I do understand, obviously, it has to go through departments, but, for example, I met with Minister Pitts on the harbour in Arglass last year, and at that stage, he had sort of indicated that the outline case was ready to go, but yet it's saying here that it's just being submitted this month. And given we're halfway through the month, I take it it's ready to go into DOF. The other thing, I don't know whether I picked this up right or not, but so the three project or the three harbour projects might not run in tandem with each other. And would that be a risk to funding? So for example, if one harbour was more advanced than the other, would that, you know, maybe be detrimental to the other harbour? If that makes sense. So say, for example, if Arglass was at a further stage and it maybe ate up the funding and Coquille didn't benefit from it. So it's just to sort of throw it out there. And I think 2025 doesn't fill me with any kind of excitement, to be honest. And I understand what you're saying, that we are, you know, near the end of 2021 and it could be the start of 25. But that's maybe just being very optimistic with the time frame. So just a couple of you know, notes that I've made there. So thanks very much. I'll probably touch base with you offline as well, Owen, to get a wee bit more detail for myself. Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Savage, if you'd like to come in now.
Yes, Chair, thanks very much. And Owen, thanks very much for your presentation, one that's greatly welcomed. And, you know, I was at the two ports during the Westminster election campaign and met with key people at both of them. And it's obvious that, you know, there's great collaboration and working together going on between the two ports because they both offer different offerings. But, you know, my concerns are about the timelines. Fully understand the marine environmental pressures and challenges that are faced, but, you know, I believe it's imperative that the new assembly, when it gets to work, hopefully next May, that the department's working a cross-cutting way with this project, and, you know, we work together to ensure that the executive brings this out as a key element within the programme for government for delivery within the next assembly term. I would hate to think that, as Councillor Councillor Clark has said, that it would slip to within two assembly terms. I think it's imperative that the programme for government should have delivery of it within that term. But I believe the timeline gives us an opportunity, Owen, to look at, you know, the wider legacy of this project, and that's what I wanted to talk to you about, in that we're dealing with the nuts and bolts of it in relation to delivery and funding at the moment. Now, I think there's a fantastic opportunity here to create a wider economic legacy for the two ports within our own district, and look for opportunities for additional investment. You know, the Westminster government need to be pressurised by our MPs in Westminster that, you know, we were promised a fishing industry dividend on the back of Brexit, and now's the time for them to put their money where their mouth is. And we need to look at, you know, just beyond the development of the fishing industry, because it is one industry that can create a lot of wealth very quickly and a lot of jobs very quickly. But we've a number of challenges, and some of them have been raised. One is to ensure that we plan for the future
and that we have the staff and the talent, the young talent in particular, developed over the coming years to ensure that when the challenges come to make us a world-leading area for two great fishing ports, that we have the technology, the expertise, and the talent that are available. And we also need to look at, you know, some of the downside of Brexit, which has been the staff shortages and processing and everything else, that we need to ensure that, you know, we make those jobs as attractive as possible and try to get over the barriers that we're facing at the minute. So really what I'm looking at here is, you know, from your own project perspective, would be, you know, are there plans to work with councillor officers within the Economic Regeneration and Tourism Department and our local colleges to look at a legacy dividend from these, that, you know, it's not just about developing our fishing ports, it's about the wider economic impact that this can have for these two ports within our district, because I believe that there are unique opportunities now. The sooner we deliver these two ports and the work that they've done, and Councillor Curran talked about the need to deepen the port in our glass and the other challenges that were faced by a very vibrant industry in Kilkeel, but the sooner we get on with this, the better. But I think we should use the time that we have in that timescale, if that's the timescale we're talking about, to look at the wider impact that this can have on the economy so that we get a real benefit across the whole South Down area from these two ports, and as well as tourism and fishing becomes a jewel in our economic crown.
Thank you, Councillor Savage. Councillor Hanna.
Thank you, Chair. Owen, thanks for the presentation. I've seen quite a bit of it before, so I have, and through different times, just a lot of what I was going to ask has been sort of brought forward. So it has a few simple questions. This funding that's sitting there at the minute, I'm assuming that that funding is secured. Is it going to be there indefinitely? Is there a timeline to when it would cease to exist? As you know, the longer you wait, delays costs and gives increased costs. I suspect they're on what Kilkeel Harbour project was looking at maybe a number of years ago. They're talking about around 30 million. I would say you're talking about 50 million now, so you are to do the same job with the costs increasing. So what I'm saying here is delays cost money. Just on, I know there was environmental issues there in one thing or another. You see, on the possible design of the new outer harbour in Kilkeel, is there a possibility that if the environmental studies come back with a more negative type of an outlook, does that really will affect the type of harbour that could actually be extended? In that case, has the department looked at any options at all of the design of the new outer harbour? I know I've seen designs there from Lex Val McCullough and that there, but that's what they've come up with. Has the department looked at any options at all? I know down at the Kilkeel Harbour, I'd be talking to them nearly every day, so I do. And the support business, Lex Engineering business, for just a simple one, the guys that paint the boats, they're looking for some indication too of what's going to take place. All we have at this moment in time is what Alan McCullough and them have brought forward. Illustrating there's possibly going to be a creation of maybe 10 acres of ground with what they dredge out. We need a wee bit more certainty in what's going on. At this moment in time, when I sit through meetings there, I sense a lot of negativity, especially from the civil servants. I know the minister has been positive, he's looking to push ahead, but just at this moment in time, we do need some intensity. What Michael Savage says is the truth. Timelines are stretching. If this was in the private sector, this would be pushed on a lot quicker. So would. I know what you said earlier on there, that you have to overcome a lot of hurdles to get to a good place. But I would say, listening to you here today, you're talking about 20, 30 plus. That which would be dreadful. That timeline of yours, I think it's not realistic at all. So is there any hope that the department turn around and being a little bit more positive in all this? Making things happen. You make things happen, you don't wait for them to happen. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, Owen, that's all our members are looking to speak. So if you want to respond to those, that'll hopefully wrap you up.
Right, okay. Well, it's pulled me up if I forget anything. So we'll just talk about the SOC. The SOC actually, from this slide, has been produced, it's gone to DOF. So it's at DOF now, so you can rest assured it is gone. I think someone talked about, Councillor Hamlin talked about the projects happening in tandem. If we put forward a business case, it is about the value for money for the programme. And therefore, if you only progress one bit and then stop short in the other, you're unlikely to deliver the value for money for the whole programme. So I would suggest that this programme goes forward on its value for money on the outland business case. So, you know, it's likely that some projects will start earlier than others, and some will progress faster, depending on the technical difficulty of the project. But for the program to be successful, all the projects will have to be delivered. So that will have to be followed through to meet the objectives for the value for money. There's a lot of talk about this 2025. That's an indicative timeline. Maybe there's a wee bit of conservatism in there, but, you know, it's not been a negative civil servant. Maybe it's been a realist. But, you know, someone once told me things are maybe never as bad as they first seem, as good as they first seem. So I'm hoping that that's sort of a bit conservative and it could be brought forward. But I think we should also be prepared that, you know, we live in a society where people can object and, you know, planning objections and even marine license objections can actually delay projects. And I've got a marine licensing team where we've got several big projects and they are being delayed because of the appeals process and because of what's happening. So that's outside my remit. I can't legislate for that. Whatever happens, and we'll deal with it in as appropriate fashion as we can and make sure we comply with the law. I think I think we also have to get this. This is building infrastructure for 50 odd years. So I understand people's expectation to have something now, but this is a complex project. A complex program across three sites. It's not to say that all three sites will be, some bits might happen faster than others. But the whole program, when it completes, is complex and it will take time. We'll try and shave off time wherever we can to reduce that timeline. But I think it's just, I think if I came here saying that we were going to cut turf or whatever we do, dredge sand in 2022 or 23, and I come back in 22, 23 and tell you that wasn't realistic, you would probably not appreciate it. I'm trying to be realistic here to manage expectations. I've built and been involved in building capital projects before. In the public sector, things that sometimes have public sensitivities, and you just don't know where it's going to go. So all I can say is, you know, we're not negative. I think maybe there's a bit of realism. I think there is a positivity. I can certainly say that my staff have pushed hard internally in DERA to get the strategic outline case through, to get the information in, to actually interrogate it. There's been a lot of queries raised, even for the strategic outline case, about value for money. And my staff have worked tirelessly to produce that evidence to make sure those are covered off. And, I think it's just, don't confuse a realist outlook with negativity. The minister is tasked, myself and my team, to deliver this as fast as possible, and we're doing that. And I think I've met people down at Arglass, I've met the producer organisations, and I've come here to the council. I mean, I've only been in post 7 or 8 months, so I'm trying to actually lean forward and engage with you so that we can actually have a positive outcome in this. On securing the funding isn't secured because that's not the way we do it. We do indicative bids once we actually get the OBC, and once we actually have a timeline or a profile to draw down money, that's when we actually we'll push for the final profile budget. As I said before, this is capital, so it's not resource. The 5 miles of dual corridor outside Ballymena cost £55 million. these projects, you know, if you want to do something that's going to last, be generational, you know, it's big money, and it's and you're quite right, it needs political support. And I think lessons from the past is that unless there is political, cross-party political support, these projects face problems. So hopefully that continues. On the options for the outer harbour design, I've no designs at the minute. And those and the ones that maybe produced by producer organisations are aspirational. I think it actually gives a bit of sort of energy and enthusiasm to what could be delivered. This will be a process where we look at the environmental technical studies, then we get the design teams in place, and then they come up with the options and they deliver against the objectives. So, and you know what, as that goes forward, there'll be a lot of engagement, particularly of councils, to have your say and comment on those issues. So, you know, I think that coming out of this meeting tonight, it's probably the issue, one of the key issues is about the timeline. All I can do is give that sort of assurance that I will keep engaged with yourself and your officials, and that we will push internally in civil service, we as a government, to push that forward and make sure we don't delay at any stage and try and get this delivered. I think it's going to need a lot of other stakeholders to realise the opportunities. DERA is not the Economic and Regeneration Department, so it's going to need other departments, it's going to need the council to lean forward. The infrastructure is very much about providing fisheries infrastructure. That's what the department's role is. But we recognise from that, from a modern harbour infrastructure, it should be a catalyst for other blue economy opportunities, be it facilitating or servicing offshore wind or maintenance yards for vessels and shipping for the or boats for the Irish Sea. And I note that Kilkeel already gets customers from across the Irish Sea coming across, so increasing that capacity. So I think it's this harbour infrastructure provides a catalyst for other people then to have that creativity to fill that with ideas to push the blue economy. It's not going to be DERA doing that part, but we can provide through the fisheries infrastructure that sort of catalyst, and also provide for our fishing industries modern facilities, and also working closely with the industry through the successor EMFF funding to actually refine their sort of refine their operations. So a system of improving efficiency, decarbonisation, so we can do some work with them on actually their fleet, etc. And you know, there'll be a bit of money for marketing and that sort of stuff to actually try and improve sort of seafood consumption within Northern Ireland to provide a bit more resilience. So there's lots of bits and lines of effort, and it's going to take a sort of a team effort from across different departments, councils, and private sector and stakeholders. I mean, if the private sector were to build this, they would be building it. That they're not, you know, and they're not, you know. So, yes, I can imagine if they were involved in getting here, they wouldn't have to worry about public monies. But we do, and that's what we have to bear in mind.
Thank you. We'll have one more councillor just looking to come in there, Councillor McKay.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I'm a non-member, but thanks for letting me in, and thanks, Owen, for your presentation. Just one, not very long. How do you intend to make a bid for something that has been sort of a project which has been brought forward by maybe the harbour group and around the harbour, but hadn't actually at this stage, I think from what you're saying, hadn't got to a stage of like a government structure report and the design structure and the feet. There's been various feasibility studies done on it, but as regards even knowing the ground condition to put in place these extended harbour, whichever way they're going to be done, by rail arm or whatever, but you yet haven't have I don't think a proper governmental structure report. Has that work still yet to be done? Have you to go and reach out for someone to do that before you can bring that to your table? Like you.
So just to clarify, Councillor McKay, is that, you know, are you looking for, you know, the environmental technical studies about what we're doing with those or how we're going to procure those? Is that the question you're asking?
Yeah, it would be sort of that, yeah. Studies have you already carried out in that?
Since I've taken over this responsibility, I've taken over no studies. I believe there were studies done in the past, but the problem with studies done in the past, if they're not followed through, then a lot of that needs to be re-looked at again. And so all I can say is that, listen, I understand this has been around for a while, but it, you know, I have to work to my minister, and he has got a, this is a priority. And he's pushing, you know, staff resources to get this pushed through. So as soon as I get approval, if I get approval from DOF, we will go into the procurement phase with Central Procurement Division Director to procure those environmental and technical studies. And then we will take that through the process. I mean, all I can say is I've been involved in capital delivery, capital works in the past, so I understand the different stages and how you have to just keep going through the process and pushing this forward. And I think the key area here will be making sure that that political support remains. Because if it doesn't, then that's where you start to get compromises about, you know, funding, et cetera, or what the actual objectives are going to be. But from a civil servant viewpoint, I've been tasked to do this, and I will push through and carry this out to as per the process. So, you know, it's, there are lots of steps, et cetera, but all I can give you is reassurance that, you know, we're aware of what has to be done to meet a timeline and try and do that shorter. We'll do it.
Thank you.
Thanks, Owen, for that. Look, I think that's all the members that have come in now. Thanks again for your presentation and for your time this evening. And I'm sure if anybody has any other questions that can tie in with yourself privately, like either at another time. Okay? Thanks again. Thank you.
Chair, thank you. And as I've said, maybe I'll get invited back. Maybe in a year's time you can hold me account.
No problem. I'm sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Okay, folks, so we're going to move on now to item number 5, which is the notice of motion in from Councillor Devlin and Councillor Savage regarding the skills shortage. So, Councillor Devlin, would you like to read your motion and speak on it? Councillor Devlin on the call.
Sorry, Roisin, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead. Go ahead, Laura.
Sorry, I'm having major IT issues here in Castlenell, and thank goodness I'm not in your seat tonight, Roisin.
I'm not home in Castlenell, Laura.
Listen, my camera isn't working out. I send video sharing disabled by the administrator, but if you're happy enough for me to proceed without my camera, is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks so much. Okay, so the motion is obviously as read, recognising the significant and growing staff shortages within the hospitality sector. This council calls the establishment of a forum with representatives in southeastern and southern colleges, Department of the Economy and other key stakeholders to undertake an assessment of the training needs to address the shortage within the hospitality sector, with the aim of providing short, medium and long term solutions to tackle this crisis and to enable our hospitality industry to survive and to aid our COVID recovery. So, Chair, our hospitality industry is in crisis. There's a concerning shortage in chefs, which is having a detrimental impact on the industry's ability to keep their doors open. Without chefs, we essentially have no food or drink industry. No chef means a closed kitchen, a restaurant unable to open its doors, and no income for the employees nor business owner. Here in Uri Morning Down, we pride ourselves on the exceptional culinary variety that exists, and we all believe this to be a key and integral element of our COVID recovery. Our coastal towns have been booming, and the staycation demand has been huge, but without chefs, the tourist isn't getting the full Uri Morning Down culinary offering, as many establishments have already reduced their opening days and hours, and some have even closed their doors in the interim. The staycation market has been our opportunity to showcase all that we have to offer, and we look at our sort of stunning scenery, our unique boutique shops. We have so much to offer, but in terms of dining, we've always punched above our weight, but now with this huge gap in the market for catering staff, the tourist and the local is missing out on so much. The industry requires urgent intervention, and I understand this isn't a statutory role of councils, but we are responsible for elements of economic development and the local promotion of tourism here in our district. All of this is at risk if the situation situation continues on the downward trajectory. I want to thank Connor and his team for the creation of the background report that is before us this evening. I want to ensure that we do all in our power to improve what is such a significant economic issue currently. Since I tabled this motion way back at the end of July, the issue has been all over the media. So I do get and appreciate that this is a problem which is much greater than Uri Morning Down. But given the emphasis that we place on tourism and hospitality, the current situation I do think is beyond worrying. So, you know, can we as a council do more? I absolutely do think we should utilise the council's economic forum and its skills and employability subsection to focus on hospitality. No other sector is growing in demand and popularity but shrinking in terms of staff numbers so rapidly. I do see the report that's before us mentions labour market partnerships. I had heard of an initiative in Mid-Ulster which is offering specific support in tandem with InvestNI, which targets like industrial sectors like manufacturing and engineering. You know, could this be the case here in Uri Morning Down, that we offer specific support to the hospitality industry to assist with recruitment or reskilling? Also, I suppose to suggest that CERC and SRC, who are at the virtual table of this economic forum, can they have a specific focus in terms of hospitality? So Chair, I'm here this evening with your committee, obviously, and I'm interested in hearing the thoughts of other members on this issue, which I can't sort of impress upon everybody enough, the importance of it in the wider Uri Morning and Down economy. And just to make you aware, Councillor Michael Savage did kindly agree to second my motion, but I suppose just putting it after Michael speaks to the floor and seeing what other members think and how collectively we could do our best to move forward. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Laura. I'm obviously taking the report as read. Councillor Savage, you had seconded the motion. Do you want to speak on it?
Yeah, just briefly, Chair. I'd like to thank Connor and the team for the work they've done on the paper that's been produced. I think it makes common sense to use the platforms that we have and the skill set we have within council to use our position to support the industry. I agree 100% with what Laura is saying, is that we have a very unique offering here and that we have an opportunity to do something similar to what Mid-Ulster did. They have a very unique offering with the likes of Powerscreen and other industries there. So we should be looking at our key industry and try to support it as best we can. Tourism is the future of our district. We live in an area of outstanding natural beauty, and when people come to see it and visit it, they want to experience the whole tourism experience. And I think there's an opportunity as well with working between the industry and those at the very top end of the industry, the best chefs that we have here, to take the lead in trying to be encouragers of young people to get involved in what's seen as an industry that's not just seen as a sweaty kitchen. It's effectively producing top quality food that is world renowned and award winning. And I think that Laura has touched on that with us punching way above our weight. And I think it's very important that when the colleges and the Department of the Economy, InvestNI and ourselves all get together, that we have those people at the top of the game with the culinary expertise, that they're there as people to act as role models and encourage young people into the industry. And we also need to work with the industry as well to give it the support that it becomes an attractive career option for young people, that they see that there's a good career in it, there's good money in it, but also as well that there's good flexible working hours. And I think that, you know, there's been a lot of, the industry has been hit very hard by what have been effectively hot delis opening up in supermarkets across the district, and they're offering more sociable hours, particularly those with children. They're offering good rates of pay. So, you know, that's a challenge for restaurant and hostelry owners to try and counter. So we need to support them to let them see that, you know, there is a flexible working environment. It does pay well and it can be award winning and very rewarding as well. So, you know, I fully support the motion that's put forward by Councillor Devlin, fully support the sentiments on it, and I'm very happy to second it tonight, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Savage. Okay, I don't see anyone else looking to come in there. So the item, I'm going to take in the paper as read, so I'm going to move on then to item number 6. Is everyone in agreement?
Yes, Chair, I'm in agreement.
Yep.
If all the members are in agreement, I'm happy to action the motion through the economic forum structures that exist within the council.
I see Councillor Clark's in there with a question. Councillor Clark.
Yeah, sorry for being late in there, Chair. I thought there was going to be other speakers. Just to say, I wholeheartedly support the motion. The hospitality industry, and living in Newcastle, you can see firsthand, you know, the requirements of the industry. And obviously, you know, the adequate training hasn't been provided, you know, for people to
fill them opportunities, local people to fill them opportunities, as well as people from outside the district. So I think there is an onus on us to focus on the gaps in the market, where even like the kitchen porters, people are finding hard to get, you know, that type of staff in, even never mind the higher level up at the chef level. So I'm sure that there's a number of people would be interested in getting into the catering industry and the hospitality industry in general. So there's an opportunity for the council to, you know, look at the jobs where, you know, as part of the motion and the report, that we bring, you know, the industry to meet the unemployed, the people who are looking jobs. So I think it's about bringing them together. Maybe people are a bit daunted, maybe going into a kitchen environment if you've never been in one. And I have been in one, and it is challenging at times. But it's a great rewarding career, and at times many of the best chefs have come in through a kitchen porter and made their whole way up to being Michelin star chefs, and indeed running their own businesses. And so I think if Laura wants to take the amendment to the motion or the report, that we do organise a specific jobs fair for the hospitality industry. If Laura's happy to take that on.
Councillor Devon, are you happy to accept that amendment to see your end of the question going ahead?
Yeah, just suppose a comment and even shared in the back of what Willie said. I suppose maybe to ask Connor, because my understanding from speaking to people was it wasn't actually a shortage of unemployed people to fill those roles. It's just there's no people anywhere as such. Now, let me see. Obviously, I'll ask Connor what his take is on that as a director. Because I know Connor, or maybe it's Jonathan, is it, in terms of this report that's engaged with the sector? I mean, I'm more than happy to do whatever we need to do as a council to try and make this situation better. But is that what our understanding the problem is out there?
Laura, I'll just maybe come back. That's the work that we will do through the Economic Forum and that skills work stream within the Economic Forum to try and identify the demand and match it with the supply. So with your agreement tonight, I would propose that we action your motion through the Economic Forum and the structures that exist, taking into consideration all the concerns that have been raised, and both consider the jobs fair and the supply and demand issues that have been raised.
Thank you, Connor. With that report back, obviously, through, when will we expect that report back to this committee? Would that be, did you say October, November time, or how soon would that come back?
To follow on from Owen earlier on, I want to be realistic and to manage expectations of when a report may be available. So I'm happy to go and speak and look at the date for the next Economic Forum, which is coming up in the next, I think it's the start of October.
Yeah.
But we can also engage with the work streams and the subgroups that sit below that forum to try and get this on the agenda and move it forward. And when I'm in a position to report back to this committee, I will. But I hope that would be November. If not November, it'll be December.
And then potentially if we need to look at the jobs for then. No, I'm content enough with that. Thank you so much, Karen. Chair, thank you for letting me in. Obviously, not a committee member. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So everyone content to move on? Yes, okay. All right, so item number 6 on your agenda this evening is former police barracks, and that report's from Mr. McGilley.
Thank you, Chair. The report's there in front of you. It is a series of recommendations arising out of the last steering group meeting of the group, Chair. The key recommendations are around the appointment of a facilitator to draw down the challenge fund and develop a biodiversity plan, and then put that into a plan to draw down the peace funding for implementation. So those are the key recommendations this evening for consideration, Chair, along with an update on the progress of the project to date.
Okay, thank you, Mr. McGill. I see a proposal in here from Councillor Stokes and seconded by Councillor Savage. Okay, are we content to move on? Item number 7 is Warren Point Front Shore Public Realm Scheme Task and Finish Group, meeting held on the 13th of August 2021. And that's for yourself as well, Mr. McGilley.
Again, the recommendations are outlined in the report from the Task and Finish Group. Two key recommendations: to accept the design concept as it currently is constituted for a public consultation process, and then to prove the business case for pending payments to DFA and BT, subject to letters of offer from the funder, Chair.
Thank you, Jonathan. So that's proposed by Councillor Ryan and seconded by Councillor Savage. Okay, we're going to attempt to move on then to item number 8, which is Warren Point Municipal Park. And that's yourself, Mr. McGilley.
Yeah, again, Chair, active task and finish group that has a number of reports attached outlining the key next steps, which are around the appointment of a landscape architect scheme for the Seaview entrance and also the appointment of a horticulturalist and arboricultural consultancy to review the woody plants in the park, all part of the HLF project, Chair, that is funded through the HLF and council.
Thank you, Jonathan. That's proposed by Councillor Ryan and seconded by Councillor Savage. Okay, so item number 9 is the Consumer Trade Shows 2021-2022. That's yourself, Mr. Patterson.
Thanks, Chair. The report sets out details of proposed trade shows that officers will attend in the coming year. Throughout the past 18 months, officers have continued to engage with travel trade through online forums. We have a very strong partnership in the district with a lot of tourism buyers, tour operators and associations such as the Income and Tour Operators Association. So I think it's very important now that these shows are starting up again that we have officers representing the district and our tourism businesses. So the proposals there set out, Chair, that we would have officers going back to these shows again.
Thank you, Andy. Terry, you want to make a comment there?
I do indeed, Chair. First of all, Andy, I'd like to thank you very much for presenting the report and outlining the list of exhibitions that the council will be present at. And it's good to see things starting to open up again, and especially with the prospects of promoting and showcasing our district. I know previously on several occasions, and when I was a member of the ERT in earlier days, I, along with other councillors, would have manned the stands at Dublin, at the Holiday World and in Belfast, the Holiday World. And this was also a good chance for elected members to work alongside our dedicated members of staff and to meet visitors on the stands and to engage with them. You know, I'd like to propose that any member of ERT committee who would like to take part and work at the shows to indicate their interest to officers. I think we can't take away the fact is that of our hard-working staff over the years and the future to come and all the hard and promoting such a wonderful district that we administer. Thank you.
I'll let Mr. Patterson respond to that.
Thanks, Chair. Just on the numbers, unfortunately, just due to COVID regulations and the limits on numbers available, the proposal as it stands at the minute is to for one officer from council to attend, and that would be in partnership with Tourism NI and Tourism Ireland wherever possible. So there's a limit on the number of people that we actually can send to these shows at the moment.
Through the Chair, first of all, thank you very much. No, I do recognise the times that we're in, but when the situation improves, can we also take on board that if councillors who are more than willing to work alongside staff, that they could be taken into account?
Thanks, Councillor Andrews. I suppose that's something we'll have to monitor just in time, look at the current situation. Okay. Can I have a proposer and a seconder, please, for that item?
Sure, proposed, Chair.
Proposed by Councillor Kern. And a seconder? Seconded by Councillor Hannah. Thank you. Okay, so item number 10 is external signage for Newry and Warren Museum, and that's yourself, Mr. Patterson.
Thanks, Chair. There's a requirement has been identified for additional signage at Newry and Moore Museum at Bagnall. So that's been identified through two assessments to date, Museums Council Access Audit and the Tourism and I Quality Grading Assessment. So plans have been developed, and due to the nature of the setting, consent has been sought and received by HED. For the signage, so approval sought this evening, Chair, for additional capital budget to go ahead and install the new signage.
Thank you, Andy. Councillor Stokes, you're looking to propose and want to make a comment, so I'll go ahead.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Whoever thought of this, great idea, Andy, wherever yourself or within your department. And certainly as we emerge from the pandemic, a good opportunity to, you know, put a bit of focus back in the museum, try and get the numbers back. You know, maybe a long-term aim of even getting the cafe going again. I know it didn't work in the first instance, but, you know, and obviously there's that site there, you know, maybe not as much footfall now that the supermarket is closed, but I certainly think that there's opportunities there for the museum. So congratulations to the department for bringing that forward. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Stokes. And can I have a seconder for that, please? Councillor Andrews from the Chamber here. Okay, so item number 11 is a sponsorship of hospitality exchange. That's from yourself, Mr. Patterson.
Yeah, Chair, the Hospitality Exchange Conference is an important event each year for tourism and hospitality businesses and stakeholders, so it's an important networking event. And I think this year in particular, the event has been, it'll be hosted live again, or a hybrid version of the event at least, and it's very important, I suppose, for tourism businesses in terms of our COVID recovery. And getting access to the latest advice and guidance and key speakers from the industry. So, Council has supported the event in recent years and the approval sought for sponsorship for this year's conference, which will be on the 12th and 13th of October.
Thank you, Andy. Okay, Councillor Andrews, you are looking to propose and want to make a comment as well?
Yes, indeed, Chair. First of all, thank you very much. And I think tonight we're hearing a whole raft of good news stories, outlining plans to showcase our district even further. And as I say, personally, I've always been a key supporter of all efforts in promoting such a wonderful place that we have. And I feel that it is worthwhile and very important for the tourist sector and for our district, and I'm only too happy to propose and support the recommendations that have been tabled in the papers here this evening. So thank you very much, Andy and team at ERT. Thank you.
Thank you. And that's seconded then by Councillor Burgess. Okay, thank you. So on to item number 12, which is a consultation regarding building control regulations, and that's Mr. Colin Jackson.
Thank you, Chair. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, go ahead, Colin.
Yes, thanks. Members, you have in front of you a report on the consultation on the provision of changing places toilet provision. Changing places toilet provision. The Department of Finance are seeking the views of councillors on the amendments to Part R of the building regulations. So I don't intend to go through the whole report that I've in front of you at the minute. But what I've done is given a balanced approach to the answers within the consultation. And basically what I'm recommending on behalf of the council is that we're supporting the provision of the amendments to the regulations to assist the disabled people within our district, while also taking into consideration the additional costs and the space associated with the provision of such facilities. So I want to take this opportunity to allow you you to provide me with any additional comments that I'd be happy to consider, or alternatively for you to endorse the response that I've provided for you. So if you want to make any further comments, I'd be happy to consider them now, or alternatively, if you wanted to make any comments, I'd be happy to take them over the next week or so that I can provide a response to the department by the 20th of October. So the recommendation is to either support or approve the balanced approach to the consultation provided to the committee this evening. I'm happy to take any questions, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. So I have a proposal from Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor Burgess. Councillor McMurray, you're looking to make comment?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And I'll probably take up the offer to speak to Mr. Jackson over email or whatever. But no, just to say that, you know, we really do need to up our game in regard in changing places. I know I've brought a motion here before. I know other councillors have raised issues with regards to it. But I mean, we were I was contacted just by someone visiting the district, and the lack of changing provision for some of our disabled members of society is pretty poor compared to other districts. So anything that we can do to develop our facilities to make them more accommodating and you know usable from a practical level is definitely something I'm happy to support, and glad to see other councillors have been quick to propose and second it. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Murray. Okay, so we're content to move on then, folks. We'll move on to item number 13 to 17, which are in closed session. So items number 13 to 17 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1 of the Schedule 6 of the Local Government Act 2014, information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may be, by resolution, be excluded during this item of business. So can I have a proposer and a seconder to go into closed session, please?
So proposed, sure.
Councillor Andrews and Councillor Burgess. Let's give it a few seconds. Okay, so during closed session, it was agreed on item number 13, the COVID-19 Recovery Working Group. On the proposal of Councillor McMurray, seconded by Councillor Andrews, it was agreed to approve access to the COVID recovery funding for the Sustainability, Biodiversity, General Upgrade Works and Feasibility Study for a pump track at Irons Park in Newcastle. On item number 14, Halloween Events Programme, on the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Kern, it was agreed to recommend approval to issue service level agreements for the delivery of Halloween or Christmas events to five community development groups in 2021, with named event organisers required to ensure all events can be delivered safely, whilst taking all reasonable measures to limit the risk of transmission of COVID-19 virus. Item number 15, the Newry Chamber Music Proposals. On the proposal of Councillor Stokes, seconded by Councillor Howell, it was agreed to establish a service level agreement between Council and Newry Chamber of Music for the delivery of an arts and community outreach programme in the 2021-2022 season. Item number 16, Strangford Lough Tourism Cluster Memorandum of Understanding. On the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Burgess, it was agreed to note the Memorandum of Understanding between Newry Moore and Down District Council, Ards North Down Borough Council and the Strangford Lough Tourism Cluster, which outlines a model of collaboration for the promotion and development of tourism providers within the cluster. Item number 17, TNI Product Development Fund. On the proposal of Councillor Howell and seconded by Councillor Andrews, it was agreed to approve the Council enter into the service level agreements with the Newry Moore and Down Tourism businesses detailed in the report to deliver a programme of events experiences as part of the Tourism NI Market-Led Product Development Programmes 2021-23. Okay, folks, so that leaves us then. We're on to the items for noting. So items for noting, items number 18 to 24 are for noting. Councillor Clark, Councillor Clark, you'd like to come in there? Keep it brief, if you will.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And normally wouldn't come in regards to the noting items, but there's two items in particular, the one about the greenways and the one about Newcastle Harbour. And for both the issues, I believe there should be a task and finish group set up for each of them to guide them through, because they're two very important pieces of work in regards to the tourism industry, but even people's active healthy and leisure opportunities. So from that point of view, I think this is going to be the focus on, funding coming from government and also, other sources. So I think it's important that we are across the detail along with officers and moving these projects forward. Briefly, Chair, just in regards to the greenways, obviously we all know there's difficulties with land access. So that's something we maybe need to focus on. As a grouping in regards to how we move forward. There's a new opportunity now with Brexit and payments for farmers, and there's an opportunity maybe to have that conversation again. I don't want to impose this on any landowner. I want cooperation with the landowners, but we have to exhaust our discussions with them. As I said, we're in a different position now, so I think there's an opportunity to have that press discussion. And Newcastle Harbour, obviously, there's a need for the proposal is that we look at the South East Coast Master Plan again and upgrade that. I think that there is a need then to pull the Newcastle Harbour project and bring consultants just to refresh the documents that have lay with us on for decades. So if we can agree that. Chair, I don't know if you want a proposal for each of them, but I'm happy to do that.
Okay, Councillor Clark, thank you. I'm happy to second that, if that's possible, that those proposals for those both items. I see Councillor McMurray has come in as well. Councillor McMurray, apologies, I got there. I'm working off two screens here, so I'm happy to bring you in now.
Chair, I accept your humble apology. It's okay. And don't envy you being up there and doing the thing, coming in. Yes, no, it was
quite happy to second support Councillor Clark's proposal there regarding a class and finish for the active travel, because it's such an important issue. I was only going to come in and say that to publicly put on record thanks that the council officers for putting such a raft of proposals there through. I think we have to be ambitious, because I don't think we have to be ambitious in order to even if it's highlighting sections which can be delivered while other parts maybe are less deliverable at this stage. But again, it's building up parts of the parts of the section so that it becomes more and more possible to do, and it becomes a unstoppable tide when it comes to the greenways. So no, I think it's very good to see, and I know certain areas within my district were a bit disappointed to see that didn't get part of the initial DFI act of travel. But again, this shows the scope, this shows the ambition, this shows that, and we need to replicate that drive and that support within the council. So happy to support that as well. Chair.
Thank you, Councillor. I have to echo your sentiments, sir. Councillor Stokes, very briefly. I don't normally kick people in under.
Chair. I appreciate it's late in the evening. No, I think Willie makes, Councillor Clark makes an excellent suggestion, like yourself. We totally agree. I think task and finish around some of these would be an excellent idea. I'm not looking at an answer tonight, Chair, but I would be keen from the lead officer, maybe in particular, to the Newry Greenway application. I'd be keen to get some detail back from the lead officer on that, but I'd say happy to take that offline, Chair, and thank you, Chair, for tuning in.
No problem. I'm sure that can be followed up afterwards. That's no problem. Councillor Andrews?
Well, first of all, I'll be brief, Chair. I know it's been a very heavy meeting. It's been a good one at that, too. You know, in relation to the greenways and active travel projects, I do welcome the paper outlining the proposals around the greenways. And especially in the Republic, they have become hugely popular to visitors and locals alike. Also, the economic spin-off to local communities, and especially in the new staycation mode, which will be a major factor in the tourist market for the next lot of years. I do welcome the commitment and the update on what's happening, and I also echo the sentiments expressed by Councillor Clark that the vast importance of working alongside and taking on board landowners' views and feelings, which are going to be key players in the development of greenways, etc. But thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. And Councillor Burgess, were you looking to come in or were you just looking to propose?
Sorry, Chair, I was just proposing that we accept that under the...
That's brilliant. Thank you, Councillor Burgess. Thank you. Okay, folks, well, I think that concludes us then for tonight's meeting. Safe home to those of you who are here in the chamber, and see you again next month. Thank you for your cooperation.
Thanks, Chair.
Thanks, Chair.